We're in these days between the celebration of Corpus Christi and the celebration of the Sacred Heart. It's a rich time of year, and we are reading from, in the Gospels, reading from the Sermon on the Mount. Started yesterday with the Beatitudes. Today we get the familiar images of the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city on the mountain, the lamp on a lampstand. I'd like to focus, among all these images and all these things, I'd like to focus especially on this idea of being the light of the world. Maybe if I can put my thoughts together, we can connect this to the Eucharist, to a Sunday's celebration. I can bring in St. Anthony, today's saint. He's also obviously a shining light. But let's reflect on this. I'll do my best to get some thoughts that are built around this idea of being the light of the world. I think the first thing we have to acknowledge is that we are not the light of the world in the same way that God is. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And when he says it, he means something a little bit different than we say when we say we're the light of the world, or when he says about us, "You are the light of the world." The difference is, it should be obvious to us. We're not the source. We're not of our nature the brilliant lights in the world. We know that's all God. God is the one who from the very beginning said, "Let there be light." God is light, both. He's the origin of both physical light and of spiritual light, of truth, of understanding, of wisdom. We can understand it when we say, well, God is light. Or at least it makes sense to us. If we know anything about God, we say, well, yes, of course, he's light. He's the source of light. And then we naturally think, well, if he's going to talk about us as being light, he must be talking about us as being bearers of light, recipients of his light. And that's true. That's certainly true. We are to be bearers of light and messengers to convey the gift that we have received as a gift to others. Well, on one side, we can acknowledge that we are recipients of light, and that in that sense we can be considered light. But there's an attitude at the far other end of the spectrum, which is an attitude which is continually growing in the world, and that is that a person can declare himself or herself light simply by the power of his own will. So not as a recipient, but as an agent who decides for himself his own identity. This is what is on display, especially this month, Pride Month, the declaration that I am what I am because I decide that I am, or because I declare that I am this. That's a very dangerous position to take, because it puts a person as a replacement of God, not as a recipient from God or an agent of God, but as someone who is doing what we attribute to God, meaning creating oneself. But this is the kind of self-creative, self-declaring attitude that we see in the world. Now, what Jesus says here, though, is not, "You are the bearers of my light." He says, "You are the light of the world." And I'd like to try to explore this a little bit, because it's one thing to be a recipient of light and carry that light into the world. We can understand that. And we can see how different it is from saying, "I'm light. I'm light. I'm this or that identity. I'm this or that cultural or gender or ideological identity, because I declare it and you have to accept what I say about myself." You know, It's two different things. But Jesus' statement, you are the light of the world, seems to be in the direction of this self-declaration or self-identification. Well, how can this possibly be? How can we say, I am the light of the world? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We look at our own lives and we say, well, that's obviously not true. I'm selfish, proud, judgmental, impatient, angry, whatever other sins you want to throw into the pile. I mean, sometimes, don't you feel this? You would rather not be put on a lampstand because you're not shining very brightly. And you'd rather people not pay notice when you've lost your way. Well, we're not that bright. And we don't look all that good most of the time. And maybe we look tolerable, but not light. We know that there are occasions in the lives of the saints when saints actually do glow. They have almost a physical manifestation of light. It's a famous story of Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, when they were doing the filming in her home for the dying, and the BBC went there to make a documentary. They said, we can't film in here, it's too dark. But they filmed anyway, and it turned out that there was enough light in the, have you heard that story? Enough light in the room, I think it was Malcolm Muggeridge said, well, that light must have come from Mother Teresa because we didn't have enough light to do the film. So there are stories like this in lots of lives of the saints where they are clearly manifest as light, but those are very rare. So how can we be considered light when we're obviously not? And how can Jesus say, you are the light of the world, when it's obviously not true? Well, to understand what it means to be the light of the world, we have to look to Jesus himself. Because Jesus himself did not glow with brilliant light all the time. Most of the time he didn't. In fact, the only time I can think of is the Transfiguration. A brief moment when he really, his real identity as the light of the world was manifest. But most of the time, he didn't look all that bright. In fact, to many people, he was an obstacle. He looked like a scandal, a blasphemer, a lawbreaker, a troublemaker. Now, he is the light of the world. So I like to show that being the light of the world doesn't mean that we always look like we are, because Jesus himself didn't always look like he was the light of the world, and he is the light of the world. Then we can think of Jesus in his passion. He did not look anything like the light of the world. A suffering, bleeding, beaten, broken man, crucified. It doesn't look like light to us. So that's why it's important for us to keep our focus on Jesus when we want to understand what it means to be light and what it means for us to be light. It doesn't mean we have to look good all the time, shine on the mountaintop in the way we think we should. No, we have to shine the way Jesus shines. Be true the way Jesus is true. Love the way Jesus loves. Suffer the way Jesus suffers. Forgive the way Jesus forgives. And whether people are impressed by that or not, it doesn't make any difference. We still have to be put on the lampstand. The lampstand for Jesus was the cross. He shines from the lampstand of the cross. Now, how can this possibly be? I mean, we understand Jesus is the light, and how he manifested his light in all these contradictory ways. We say, well, okay, that was God's way of entering into the human condition and taking it on in order to transform it. But this is where I'd like to make the connection to the Eucharist, because what we celebrated on Sunday, Corpus Christi, was the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven. Not what looks like, not just a symbol of God, not just a symbol of Jesus' life, not just bread that represents him. It's no longer bread. It only has the appearances of bread. There's an a complete transformation that takes place, so that the bread is no longer bread, but it is the body and blood of Christ. That's what we celebrated on Sunday. We call it transubstantiation, from one thing into another. And I think that process of being transformed interiorly, not visibly, from one thing into another, gives us a hint at how we can be the light of the world. Because we are the recipients of light and truth and faith. We're the recipients of God's life. And there's no clearer example of it than when we receive Holy Communion, the Eucharist. We're receiving the very light itself, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity. We receive him. And he does in us something like what he does to the bread. He changes us into himself. I don't know if I could use transubstantiates us, but he transforms us into himself. He makes us light. So we are bearers of light, yes. We are messengers of light, yes. But we become light. It's Jesus' own words. You are the light of the world. Not you're the bearers of the light of the world, you're the messengers of the light. You are the light. And if he's going to say it, we have to accept it. This is really what he means. This is something like what Paul says in today's first reading when he says, Jesus was not yes and no, and we're not yes and no. Jesus, he didn't only say yes to the Father, he is yes. He is the yes to the Father. He is the amen, the eternal amen, the perfect response to the Word. He is the Word, the perfect response of the love of God. Is that just that he says it or he shows it? He is that. And then Paul says, just as he is all yes, we, meaning Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, we are yes. He says, just like that. Not yes and no. No, we have received the yes, and that yes transforms us into a yes. Okay. Sounds a little, maybe, esoteric. Let's look at the life of St. Anthony. St. Anthony of Padua, great story of a transformed life, which was not evident in the beginning. You know the story. He had a lot of inner zeal. He dedicated himself to being a follower of Jesus Christ. He eventually joined the Franciscans. But a lot of people joined the Franciscans. I mean, St. Francis was still alive. The Franciscan movement, if you could call it that, was exploding all over Europe. Thousands and thousands of people became Franciscans. It was almost like a fad. And Anthony was one of them. They didn't know, because the transformation taking place inside him was hidden. They didn't know what an extraordinary preacher he was until they grabbed him out of the blue and said, well, you preach at this ordination because nobody else is ready. And he comes out with something that amazed them. They said, well, who is this Anthony? Where did he get this? Well, it was in there the whole time. The process had begun in him years before. And he wasn't a boaster. He wasn't a person to draw attention to himself. But once people started to recognize, hey, this man has a gift, then he got assigned by the Franciscans to be a preacher. And he became... He was not only a messenger of light, he was a light. This is how saints are. It's not just what they say and what they do, it's who they are that moves people to conversion. That inner change is more powerful than the words and actions that are the evidence of that change. Well, this is what's going on in us. This is what God is doing in us, even though we ourselves are usually the last people to see it. Maybe we never see it, but it doesn't matter. God is at work changing us from yes and no, into all yes. He's changing us from light, dark, you know, grace, sin, grace, sin. He's changing us into all light, into all grace, into a representative of himself a real witness of his own life. And he's the one who puts us on the lampstand. We don't put ourselves on a lampstand because, you know what happens? As soon as we think we're somebody or we're something, we just become darkness. We just get in the way. But God puts us in situations which maybe people don't notice, but he puts us in positions that we ourselves would not choose, but if we say yes to God and we say, okay, your will be done, then he can shine through us in the way he wants to. Okay, so Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He's saying this to each one of us. And we, if we're going to accept it in faith, can say, we are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. We are this light because we have received and we are immersed in the light of God.